would like to pick up where Brother Galen left off. Proverbs 24 and 30. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I was thinking about the picture here that portrayed, if you can picture in your mind, a place that had a stone wall around it, and the stone wall was broken down, and the shrubbery and the greenery was all overgrown, and nettles and thorns were covering it. And I think about houses too. Sometimes I see houses alongside the highway that have been abandoned. And I remember hearing a poem one time, and it was, If These Walls Could Talk. And I often think about when I go by an old house and I see, you know, there was probably a family there at one time, years ago. There was probably people that labored and toiled there. And I think if these walls could tell us the story of who lived here at one time. And it's a sad state, but everything in this life has to be maintained. Everything. Cars, houses, yards, lands. Everything has to be maintained one way or another. If it's not, then we get a picture of this here. Growing up, we had, I remember at least, there was probably, in our neighborhood, when I was real young, there was one place that was really bad like this. It had a lot of weeds. The windows were busted out. Trash. Things being on the floor. As boys, we'd go up there late at night. We'd see who was the bravest to get closest up there. And everybody, somebody would throw a rock or something, and then everybody would be running. Or hear something, I'll run. But it was abandoned. And when things are abandoned and left, they come to ruin. And what I'm thinking of this morning is our spiritual house. You know, we get a picture of a temporal place, and it just brings sadness to me when I see it. Sometimes it's almost be like it'd be better if they weren't there. And to see it's just a sad picture. Sometimes you see the barns, you know, the roof is gone, the thing's halfway down, falling down. Oregon is a lot of that, and I'm not for sure. I think it's because the laws, but it just seems like people, they just are left. If there was a house there one time, I believe you can rebuild because it was zoned that way. It's very hard to just go out and find a piece of land and build in Oregon if the laws are so restrictive. But they just leave them. I mean, if they're not rebuilding out there, it just is dilapidated. I guess it's proof or something that the house was one time there, maybe. I'm not for sure. But it's a sad picture. But I'm thinking about our spiritual house today. You know, our spiritual house is the most important house that we have. Our spiritual life. That can also be neglected. That can also be in disorder, disarray, not in the proper order that God would have it to be. And the word that's been in my heart and mind is the word neglect. And it comes from the prefix N-E, which is not, and legere, which is has to do with gathering, esteem, love. Neglect means to give little attention or respect to, disregard, to leave undone or unattended, especially through carelessness. In other words, neglect is I've lost the respect for it. It doesn't hold very much value to me. And so I'm not putting any attention or giving attention to it as I should. And it's the opposite of the word diligent. Neglect and diligent are opposites. Diligent is characterized by steady, earnest, energetic application and effort. Neglect, another definition, was giving insufficient attention to something that has a claim to one's attention. Now, it's not just because there's something out there, but it's something that has claimed my attention. In other words, that I'm the owner of or the caretaker for. But our spiritual house, if the Lord could see, He does see, but I wonder today, you know, what our spiritual house looks like. What's, you know, is there, and I know on houses they can last a long time if the roof's intact, but if the roof gets a hole in it, it goes down really quick. And we've had that on our house. The way the winds come, I don't know what it is, but I've replaced shingles three different times on our roof. I guess it hits our gable porch and swirls right there or something, the south wind. Finally, when I started putting them down, I just had to nail them down, but then I tarred every flap. Put it down, tarred the flap so that at the very front, it's all down. But when the roof starts leaking, then you really have a lot of troubles. So our spiritual life, it's very vital for us to maintain our spiritual house, that it be in order. Hebrews, the second chapter, gives a thought here. Hebrews chapter 2. Now I want to start at Hebrews 1 and 10. It seems like it goes so well together. It said, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." But to which of the angels said he at any time, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? In chapter 2 and 1, he said, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Here he's saying, first of all, he's saying that the earth and the heavens, they're going to perish, they're going to pass away. And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, just like a garment. You know, you fold it up, you put it away. That's the way the Lord's going to do the earth and the heavens. It's not going to continue forever. This that we see, that we know, that we feel, and we're so acquainted with, God's going to change all of that. It's going to be changed. And he said, therefore, knowing this, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know, it's easy to let things slip. It's easy to procrastinate. It's easy to put things off. And I'm thinking about our spiritual house and our conscience and the dealings that God has with us and that he speaks to us. You know, if we're not diligent to give the more earnest heed to follow what God has given us, we let them slip. It passes by. And we forget. And we become lax in it. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And then he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You know, there's a danger of us being able we can get used to hearing things. And we can even say, well, that was good and that was right. But if we're not diligent to put it into our spiritual house, I think about times when the Spirit of the Lord pricks us and maybe we say something that we shouldn't have said. And we know it. We shouldn't have said something. What do we do? You know, if we're not diligent to make that right, if we're not keeping up to date, we can just allow that to continue to be there. And it's affecting my spiritual house. It's affecting because my spiritual house is not being maintained. The Lord wants us to be able to go and apologize. I'm sorry, I said the wrong thing. Will you forgive me? Whatever the reason, you know, to be able to make that right in our lives, to ensure that our spiritual house is being what God wants it to be. That when you look at the house, you know, you've seen Thomas Kincaid's paintings. It usually got a little cottage and sometimes it's nestled in the mountains. Got a little brook flowing by and it's being occupied. Usually there's a candle in the window or a glow that you see. And there's something inviting about it. You see the glow, the warmth. Someone's abiding there. And when you look at the outside, you can tell people are there and it's being kept up. There's an inviting, a drawing to that. And it's the same way in our spiritual lives. When our spiritual house is being kept up, There's a draw to that. There's a pull to that attracts and draws. But when our spiritual house has been neglected, and we begin to get careless and we pass over things that are not made right, and we just kind of go on and we continue then we begin to lose that part that looks inviting, that part that looks attractive, that part that I want some of that warmth, I want some of that glow. We begin to lose that. And I've seen people that have been around, that have had bad attitudes, unforgiveness, hard feelings, things that come out, and it shouldn't be that way. It's because somewhere there's been some neglect. Somewhere there have been some things there that have just been left unattended and undone, uncared for, untaken care of. And I want to challenge us today to the Lord help us with our spiritual house, to be diligent, to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to follow what God talks to our conscience about and pricks us about, that conscience, that prick, because after a while the heart, the conscience does, it can become seared. It gets to where it doesn't feel. That song, one song we sing, it says that conscience once so keen to feel, no more is stirred at God's appeal. So we have a responsibility today, knowing that this world is going to pass away, knowing that we're going to have to stand before God, we ought to give the earnest heed, the more earnest heed. Now I noticed, I think about Noah, how Noah escaped the destruction of the old world, and it was because he gave the more earnest heed. He began building the ark. God had gave him instructions, and first of all, he was living right, and God recognized that he was righteous in his generation, and God gave him plans to spare. But I think about the diligence that it must have took, the perseverance that he had to have in the face of ridicule, in the face when everyone was doing something different. Does that sound familiar in our day? In the face of all of that, he kept building. He kept building. He kept going on. And it saved his house. It saved his family, his household. Lord, help us to give the more earnest heed. Here also he mentioned 2 Peter, the first chapter. Second Peter, the first chapter. He talks about adding the different things. According as, verse 3, it said, according as his divine power has given us life, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So the Lord has provided everything necessary, everything that we need. We just need to get it. We need to purchase it. We need to get a hold of the Lord to get it and make it a part of our spiritual house. He's provided all that we need. But I wanted to drop down to verse 9, it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Lord, help us today to be diligent in your business and with our spiritual house to respond to all of your dealings with God and not, you know, slight them and feel like, you know, we just can't, we can't skirt around them and prosper. We can't neglect God's dealings and prosper spiritually. And, you know, to be real honest with ourselves, it's sometimes is very painful. Have you ever found that to be true? Sometimes it's painful. Many times it's painful to be honest and recognize, Lord, I have a need. I have something here. If we sin, if we fail the grace of God, we want to make it right. We want to ask forgiveness. We want to clean up the mess. We want to do everything that God wants us to do, to have. I think about that time when the Corinthian church, they were having a lot of problems and difficulties. There was a party spirit. They were trying to identify along with saying, well, I'm following Paul. And other ones, I'm with Apollos. A lot of problems. But he wrote them the letter. He wrote them the letter. And I believe in 2 Corinthians he talked, he said, and they had the issue with the fornication also, but he said, you've approved yourselves clear in this matter. In other words, they took every means possible to correct their failure and where they were amiss and where things were going wrong. They corrected it. And Paul said, you've approved yourself to be clear in this matter. Lord, help us today to, when we make spiritual messes and we fail the grace of God, help us to take care, not just brush it aside, ignore it, and pretend that it's not there, but to acknowledge. You know, David, when David failed with the temptation with Bathsheba, you know, David overrode that, didn't he, for a long time. I don't know how long it was before Nathan came to him. But Nathan, the Lord sent Nathan to him, and he gave him that account about the lamb and the rich man and how he came and took the poor man's lamb and slew it, and he had so many lambs. And David was so mad. He was so upset. Surely the man had done this, he'll surely die. And Nathan said, you're the man. You're the man. King David, you're the man. Somehow he wasn't seeing it. David had covered over. I'm sure at first he probably felt condemned. When you look at that whole scenario, here he brings Bathsheba's husband. She sends him a letter, a note saying, I'm expecting a child. And so he gets her husband back and wants her to go home. So it will look legitimate, and he don't do it. He sleeps at the king's door, at the king's gate. He was quite a man. He told the king, he said, how can I go home with my wife when my commander and my comrades are on the battlefield? How can I do that? And I asked, how could David do what he did? Here was this. And when David saw him, knowing that he had already stole something from this man, and this man is standing before him, and David's already robbed him. Uriah was quite a man. He's listed in the heroes. Uriah was as the mighty man. He was a noble. He was devoted. But David, surely he felt, right? Surely he felt this wasn't right. And then he sent the letter, since he didn't go in to his wife, he had to take care of his problem another way. He sent a letter with the very man to put him in the battle front and to pull back when he's there. And then David told Joab, he said, let not this thing bother thee. You know, our sins affect other people. Our shortcomings affect other people. Joab did what he was told to do. But apparently he wasn't feeling good about it. Here's his, I imagine Joab knew what kind of man he was. He was a devoted man. And David overrode. He overrode these checks. And it doesn't say how long of time it was till Nathan came to him. But it was like he got to the place where he didn't see it no more. His conscience didn't bother him anymore. And then David told Joab, he said, well, once the sword devours one, just as well as the other. You know, people die in battle. And all the time, he was kind of covering over his conscience. You know, that's pretty alarming to me. That we can come to the place that where I've done, I failed short, I came short. And then we can get to the place where I don't see it anymore. But I've learned to live with it. And it's just there, and it's become a part of my spiritual house. And my spiritual house is, the windows are broken out, things have been neglected, rain's coming through the windows, and wind. But David, when Nathan confronted him, he humbled his heart, didn't he? And I thank God that he did that. He said, Lord, I have sinned against you. No excuses. It was David that did it. He apologized. His prayer in the 51st Psalm is so touching. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Forgive me from blood guiltiness. You know, that was quite a transgression. That was quite a failure. But you know, sometimes, you know, we probably haven't done that in a literal sense, but sometimes when we've had maybe hurt feelings, and we can develop feelings against somebody, and we can be guilty. Lord, help us to take care of those things. Help us to be diligent. Not just get to the point where we just, where we neglect, or I hear, but Lord, help us to be able to take care of, that our spiritual house can be something that's a blessing and a help, a source of strength, He said, how shall we neglect? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And we know, you know, when we stand before God, nothing's going to be hidden. It says the books are going to be open. We're going to stand before God to give an account of the things that we've done in this body. It's going to be all open before everyone, I guess, before the Lord. It's going to be open and clear. So Lord, help us to keep. There's nothing that's going to pass the Lord's eye. There's not going to be a neglected house that gets past the Lord's recognition. And Lord, help us to be willing to make changes in our life as necessary. You know, sometimes we get to be creatures of habit. It's easy to fall into our forms and our routines, and we can just kind of be creatures of a habit and routine. But Lord, help us to give diligent heed to our spiritual house, that it's in good shape, good working order. That when I'm called home, and I don't know, recently I've just been thinking, you know, we can just preach. We can just preach anytime. I've been made more aware of that all the time. We can just be here one day and all of a sudden. But we're so used to having tomorrow. We're so used to thinking next week and next month and making plans. Lord, help us today to be diligent. There was another scripture, Peter. I noticed this several times in Peter. Second Peter 3, verse 11, he's talking about the end. He's talking about the heavens being on fire, the elements melting with fervent heat, the Lord coming as a thief in the night. And he said, verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing all this going to happen, what manner ought ye to be? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved? Wherefore, beloved? Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent. I notice Peter mentions this several times, it seems like. There we read the one that said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Here he's saying, what manner of persons ought we ought to be? Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. There's a lot of upkeep on a house and on a spiritual house. There's a lot of upkeep. And Lord, help us today. I just want to encourage all of us and challenge us to be up to date, to live up to date, to be sensitive to God's dealings with us. If we have to make some changes, if we have to reconsider some things, be willing to do whatever it takes to have your spiritual house in good working order and things in place. You know, it's a blessing when you know, all the shingles are on the roof. And you know the locks work on the door. I remember hearing just recently a man, his wife asked him to put a deadbolt on the door that came from the garage into the kitchen. He didn't do it. He didn't put a deadbolt on. I don't know how long the time went by, but something happened. A neighbor was drunken. He came in through the garage, into that door, into the house. While he was gone, his wife was there alone. And he held it up. He held a picture of it. This is all it was. Simple. Deadbolt probably would have taken 30 minutes to put it on. And my wife had to go through this life. But he neglected to do that. And his wife asked him to do that. But it's so easy for us to put things off. It's so easy to say tomorrow or I'll do this and that. And then neglect. Lord, help us today to be diligent that our spiritual house can be what God's calling us to be.